Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hey guys, welcome back to Storytime Slayer Podcast. I am your hostess, Haley Lira, and today I'm delivering a bonus episode about a major case being talked about internationally. Don't worry, part 2 of the Brittany Woods missing person case will be released Wednesday, per usual. This is just a bonus episode. So today I'm going to be discussing Britain's most prolific modern-day child serial killer as of Friday, August 18th, 2023. If you haven't heard about it yet, the killer is 33-year-old Lucy Letby, and her story is both heartbreaking and horrifying. Full disclosure, this is a true crime podcast. Some of what is discussed can be triggering and involves heinous crimes. I try not to be too dark or gory when discussing murders, but listener discretion is still advised. Don't forget to check out my Facebook, Storytime Slayer, and my Instagram, story_time_slayer. Plus, please leave me a 5-star review on Apple. Pretty please. And with that being said, let's just dive in. As we go over this case, though, keep in mind that Lucy Letby was arrested in 2018 and just underwent a 10-month trial that concluded last Friday. Her trial was under a strict privacy ruling by the court, so a lot of details pertaining to the case and trial are just starting to circulate in the media. With that being said, I do anticipate a lot more details will be emerging, but here is just the rundown of what happened. Lucy Letby has been convicted of killing 7 infants under her care and attempting to murder 6 more between June 2015 and June 2016 while working as a nurse in the neonatal unit at Countess of Chester Hospital. So she took care of sick babies. She was a neonatal nurse. Then, in 2015, the Countess of Chester Hospital began to see a pretty significant increase in its number of infant deaths. The number spiked around 10% higher than usual with no explanation. To make things worse, the children who died unexpectedly. They seemed to be stable and preparing to go home, and then the baby would suddenly suffer a near-fatal or sometimes completely fatal attack with no medical or plausible explanations. I will explain more shortly in detail. Now, doctors could not understand why or how this was happening. It was so bizarre and alarming that at some point, the hospital quit accepting infants born between 32 weeks gestation. Bamboozled about why there was an increase in infant deaths, the hospital conducted multiple private investigations and internal reviews into what was going on, but those drew no explanation into the mysterious infant deaths. The investigation did find the hospital had, quote, inadequate staffing, but it would be a hot minute before they figured out what was causing these infant deaths. So I'm going to better outline the victims and the individual circumstances surrounding their deaths in better detail when we get to the trial part. Just so you can grasp the gravity of the situation, though, from June 2015 to February of 2016, 5 infants died and 3 more almost died under very mysterious physical attacks that, like I said, could not be explained. Because of the inadequate staffing that I mentioned, sometimes neonatal nurses would literally be the only person alone with a patient. So by around February of 2016, a lot of hospital staff that worked closely in that unit, doctors and other nurses, began to see a correlation between these attacks and Lucy. So during an internal investigation in February of 2016, hospital staff began to actually voice their concerns and said that they went ignored, though. Dr. Stephen Brewery, who was head of the neonatal unit, voiced his concern directly blaming Lucy for the infant deaths and asked upper management that she be completely removed from the neonatal unit because he was so concerned. But his concerns fell on deaf ears, and Lucy remained on the unit until June of 2016. By the way, between February of 2016 and June of 2016, when Lucy was finally taken off the ward, 2 children died directly under her care, and 2 more almost died. But fortunately, finally, June 2016, Lucy gets removed from the unit and placed strictly on clerical duty, to which she responds by filing a grievance issued against the hospital. After Lucy was placed on clerical duty, the hospital medical director, Ian Harvey, went to the Cheshire Police to seek help with the unexplained infant deaths. I do want to point out that the hospital had undergone multiple internal investigations. They literally uncovered the connection between Lucy being alone with the infants and these mysterious deaths occurring. Doctors voiced their opinions and belief that Lucy was the direct culprit in the infant deaths and attacks, but both the medical director and the nurse staffing director dismissed that Lucy was liable. And Ian Harvey even made a statement along the lines of, he only enlisted the help of police to rule out any foul play. And he kind of sort of maintained that he didn't think she was a killer nurse. I think this is a public relations and liability issue just to keep the hospital from possibly being sued, liable, or responsible for the deaths of these infants, which I think they partially are at this point. But who am I? Merely a girl with a microphone. So police investigate the deaths and find the connection to Lucy. They gather enough evidence and she is arrested July 3rd of 2018 on suspicion of murdering 8 infants and 6 attempted murder charges, all of which she adamantly denies, and she gets released on bail 3 days later. She's arrested again on June 2019 for 8 murders and now 9 attempted murders. She again is awarded bail. Then November of 2020, she's arrested a third time, being charged for 8 murders and now 10 attempted murders. But this time she was not awarded bail. Okay, that's good. Unfortunately, on June of 2022, one murder count had to be dropped due to a lack of evidence. Once arrested, police searched Lucy's home and personal belongings as well as her parents' house. And they found she had a bunch of little post-it notes written by her all over her house that sounded rather manic and not clear. So they said things like, quote, I killed them on purpose because I'm not good enough, end quote. She wrote things like, quote, I am evil. And then her notes would say stuff like, quote, I haven't done anything wrong and they have no evidence, so why do I have to hide away, end quote. Lucy maintained that those scribblings were just an outpour of her grief and emotion after being removed from the job that she loved and being accused of such terrible things that she maintained she didn't do. Her trial began October 2022 and lasted to July of 2023. Her verdict was reached August 18th, 2023, where she was found guilty of 7 murders and 6 attempted murders. This reminds me so much of Janine Jones, the killer nurse from Texas who killed children and infants under her care as well. As far as you could tell, Lucy was a normal woman, like normal as can be. She looked normal. She had a normal home, a good job, a healthy social life. She went on vacations. There was no obvious outwardly red flags. She also seemed like a confident and responsible nurse. So there seems to be no explanation for what caused Lucy to go on a killing spree, other than the theory that she really enjoyed the chaos it created and she wanted to get the attention of a married doctor she had a crush on. A lot of the babies she attacked were his patients, so he would of course come and be heavily involved in what was happening, so she would get more time with him. And on some accounts, the doctor is referred to even as Lucy's boyfriend, but other sources say she just had a crush on him. Lucy maintains he was just a friend she loved dearly. I think they may have been dabbling with a bit of an emotional affair at the very least. Like, at the very least, they were overly flirtatious, I bet. I say that because they would sometimes text really late into the night. They went on a trip to London together, and she would even borrow his car sometimes. However, after a source released her text messages, I'm leaning more toward her main motive was probably that she liked the attention she got from people about, oh, being present for all these awful deaths and how hard it is on her, right? So she would text coworkers and that doctor. In fact, I'm about to go over the chronological order and details surrounding each child's death or almost death at the hands of Lucy, and I will throw in those text messages that I found kind of in the order that they happened along with each child's death. So let's jump into that. So we started trial. As for Lucy's parents, they stood by her side. It's reported that her mom was so devastated that she actually told police Lucy was innocent and it was her who committed these crimes so her daughter wouldn't get in trouble, I guess. Her parents were at trial every day, and her mother literally had an emotional outburst in court when Lucy was found guilty. And before I jump in, I do want to say that when that doctor that Lucy had a crush on testified in court against her, she became so overcome with emotion that she literally tried to get up and leave the courtroom, which, of course, the judge was like, sit the fuck down. Now, I don't know the names of the victims because that has yet to be released, but I do know some of the details surrounding their untimely deaths, the text messages, and the attacks. So I'm going to share that now in chronological order. Here we go. 2 weeks before Lucy's killing spree began, she took a class about transfusions, injections, and the dangers of air embolism. An air embolism is a bubble of air that gets into your bloodstream and can seriously harm or kill you when it makes its way through vital parts of your body. A majority of Lucy's victims were injected with air, so it's probably not a coincidence she literally just completed this course before putting air embolism into action. The first two victims of Lucy were twins. A lot of the victims were twins, and I assume that's because it's not uncommon for twins to need to spend at least a short amount of time in the NICU. Victim one is referred to as Baby A, and he died from air in his bloodstream June 8th, which Lucy did inject him with. When Baby A collapsed and began having issues, Lucy was seen standing directly over him. Of course, medical staff rushes in and they try to save the baby, but Baby A unfortunately passes. Now, the following night, Lucy injected Baby A's twin sister, Baby B, with air as well, but she miraculously survived. Now, it's later believed that, yes, she was injecting air into their stomachs because air was actually found in Baby B's gut later. But at the time, nobody knew what was happening. They just thought, man, this is so mysterious what happened with these twins. 3 days following Baby A's death and Baby B's attack, Lucy told her manager she was ready to return to the NICU. Baby C was her next victim. See, Baby C was born premature, weighing only 1 pound 12 ounces, so he needed to stay in the NICU. Despite his size, though, he was stable until June 14th when he had a mysterious attack similar to Baby A and Baby B's. At this time, Lucy was seen standing directly over the baby, and he too ultimately died of an air embolism. Now, at the time, remember, nobody knows Lucy's injecting air into their stomachs. They're like, I don't know what's happening. Why did this kid get sick? Why is he having this attack? Right? So next was Baby D. Baby D was the third victim to die within a 2 week period on June 22nd, and he died of an air embolism as well. Baby D was the only full term baby that had died in the NICU, and he was literally only there because his mom had a very long, difficult 60 hour labor. And the doctors wanted to ensure that the baby didn't have like an infection or anything like that. Now, Baby D did appear to be healthy, but it was to err on the side of caution he went to the NICU, and probably so that his mom and dad could get some rest after such a long labor. The parents of Baby D actually mentioned that they were bothered by Nurse Lucy and the way that she hovered around their baby all the time. But regardless, they were exhausted and they went to go take a nap. But the mom and dad were actually woken from their nap by the nurse, who said that their baby was in really bad shape and they needed to rush to the nursery. When the parents got there, there was a doctor that seemed very agitated, trying to give Baby D mouth to mouth until there was no signs of resuscitation and they had to say goodbye. Apparently, the baby had 3 attacks that evening, and it's now believed Lucy injected her with air 3 times, causing the attacks until it ultimately killed her. After everything was done, the staff noticed some markings and discoloration on Baby D's abdomen, and it was something that they'd never seen before. The rash actively moved and almost flashed a little bit. This completely puzzled the medical staff because, like I said, no one had ever seen that before. An internal investigation is launched. Unfortunately, whatever was causing these babies' sudden mysterious decline in health, though, was not discovered in the first investigation. But it was noted in that first investigation that Lucy had been alone with all 3 patients when these mysterious attacks happened. But nothing more comes from the investigation. So that's it. 4 mysterious attacks, 3 deaths in just 1 month. Lucy is linked to being the only one there for every attack. Case is unsolved. Interesting. Following the death of Baby D, Lucy texted a coworker and told them. They asked Lucy what happened, and she was welcome to chat if she wanted to. Lucy said, quote, on a day-to-day basis, it's an incredible job with so many positives. But then sometimes I think, how do such sick babies get through it and others just die suddenly and unexpectedly? I guess it's how it's meant to be. I think there is an element of fate involved. There is a reason for everything, end quote. Lucy texted another coworker after Baby D's death and said, quote, what I've seen has really hit me, end quote. And when they suggest she go talk to a professional, Lucy said, quote, I can't talk about it now. I can't stop crying. I just need to get it out of my system, end quote. June 30th, a coworker texted Lucy about how odd it was four babies have gotten so sick in such a short amount of time. And Lucy's explanation was, well, baby C was small and compromised. Baby D was septic, but she didn't understand baby A herself. Wow. So baby E and F are next. They're twin boys born August 4th of 2015. Baby E's mom was actually supposed to deliver her twin boys at another hospital, but for whatever reason, she delivered her twins at the Countess. The mom had a C-section, so she remained at the hospital as well for a few days recovering. I believe she said her husband had to do whatever. He had to go do something on like day two or three of their stay. While he was gone, she goes down to the NICU like she usually did to care for her boys and, you know, change their diapers, feed them, stuff like that. But she did have to go up to her hospital room to grab breast milk and come back. See, even though kids are in the NICU, parents are welcome to be there with their babies, except during shift changes typically. Now, when baby E's mom came back with the milk, she heard one of her boys wail from the hallway. She said it was unlike anything she'd ever heard. It wasn't a cry, but more of like a scream. So she rushes into his incubator and there is literally blood pouring out of his mouth. The mom alerts staff and the mom said that when she made it into the room, Lucy was actually not next to the baby, but looked to be completely busy doing something else. Unsure what happened, more blood is just gushing out of this baby's mouth and his body is developing an odd rash like they saw before that nobody knows what it is. For 50 minutes, doctors and staff work on baby E to try and revive and stabilize him, but he ultimately died. It was very traumatic and he lost a lot of blood. Doctors made the assumption this was possibly a stomach bleed from a potential bowel condition, which caused the infant to likely bleed to death. In fact, the doctors even recommended not getting a post-mortem autopsy, which I thought was really bizarre because if you think that's what happened, just go ahead and get the autopsy so you can know for sure. Later, the doctor actually apologizes to the parents in court during their testimony for recommending not getting an autopsy. Looking back, the exam would have done nothing but help post-mortem. The morning baby E died, Lucy texted a coworker and said the baby had a hemorrhage and it could have happened to any baby or any nurse. In the meantime, Dr. Jairam set out to determine what the rash they were seeing on all these infants dying was from. If he could figure that out, maybe he could figure out what was going on. Unfortunately, it would take him several months and more infant deaths before he could ultimately determine that the rash was a sign of an air embolism. He said when he finally found out this possible link, it literally sent chills down his spine because he realized someone had to be doing this intentionally. No way are all these babies suffering from air embolisms naturally. The day after baby E dies, his twin brother baby F takes a turn for the worse. However, he miraculously survives and later tests positive for dangerously high levels of insulin. Lucy is believed to have poisoned him by insulin on purpose. Next was baby G, who was born 15 weeks early and weighed 1 pound in September. Lucy tried to kill baby G 3 times over a 3-week period with excessive milk and air in her nasogastric tube. So that's the tube that goes through the nose to the stomach so they can deliver nutrients and medicine to the babies. No, baby G did not die, but she is seriously disabled from what Lucy did to her during those 3 weeks. Next is baby I, and Lucy killed her by injecting air into her stomach October 23rd, 2015. So now hospital staff are talking. The connection between Lucy and the deaths cannot be overlooked nor coincidental, right? So Dr. Jairam, the one who's looking into the rash, and Dr. Brewery, that's the head of the NICU, put their observations together and both come to the same conclusion that it was for sure 100% Lucy doing this. Now, this is when the doctors report their suspicions to management, but they are urged not to cause any unnecessary fuss about this. Dr. Jairam said he regretted not going to the police himself at that point, but he didn't. So Lucy remained on the unit and an internal review requested by Dr. Brewery is carried out. February 2016 rolls around and the internal review that Dr. Brewery requested was completed and it did conclude that Lucy was present and connected to 9 of the suspicious deaths and a meeting was to be set with doctors, some select managers, higher-ups, and the medical director. But this meeting will not happen until May. Meanwhile, the killing spree continues. Baby L was the next patient in the NICU who almost died after Lucy injected dangerous levels of insulin into an IV bag April 9th, 2016. Fortunately, this child survived. Now, baby M was the twin to baby L. 3 days following baby L's attack, baby M suffered a life-threatening attack after being injected by air as well. The baby did survive, but they suffered some brain damage. May 16th, 2016 rolls around and the meeting with the doctors and higher-ups is finally held. And the higher-ups concluded that Lucy being present could be merely a coincidence and the deaths could possibly still be from something else entirely. Wow, this was incredibly frustrating to staff that knew Lucy was guilty. So Lucy remains on the ward. Like I said earlier, I cannot help but wonder if management was too concerned with not wanting to accept liability that they literally couldn't see a better way to not accept liability is to change the position of the liability, right? I cannot believe that no one went to the police yet. Why has nobody reported her? Why is she still on the ward? Like, this is crazy, all for the sake of not being sued. Anyway, so while Lucy is still in the NICU, her next victim is referred to as Baby N. Baby N was a baby who was born with a condition that caused severe bleeding. So on June 3rd, 2016, Lucy shoved a tube aggressively into his throat hard enough to cause severe bleeding. Now, he fortunately survived this attack, though, miraculously. Now, Lucy's final attack was carried out on some triplets. Baby O was a triplet, and he died June 23rd, 2016, from Lucy putting air into his feeding tube and assaulting him. And that blew my mind because it seems like her attacks are changing and they're becoming more violent and heinous. I mean, thankfully, baby O did have a post-mortem exam that showed severe liver damage comparable to what the doctor had seen from serious vehicular accidents. So this baby underwent some type of like physical impact from Lucy. The following day, June 24th, baby O's brother, baby P, was also murdered by Lucy in the same manner. Oh, and by the way, Lucy did this merely hours after she returned to work from vacation. It was literally her first day and shift back at work. After the death of two triplets, O and P, the parents begged the last surviving triplet to be transported to another hospital, and this likely saved that third baby's life. The mom remembered waiting for the transport to get there, and she said out loud something along the lines of like, "Oh, the transport team are going to be here soon," or something. She was kind of, I'm sure she was panicked. And Nurse Lucy said something along the lines of, quote, "He isn't going to make it out of here alive, is he?" end quote. And this statement was understandably shocking to the mother of these triplets who literally just lost two of her three babies. By the way, only one in 200 million births are healthy vaginal triplet births, which I thought was interesting. Following the death of these two triplets is often referred to as the turning point in this case. So after the triplets died, the doctors had had enough. And either they had a meeting or they made some phone calls to the medical director and nursing slash deputy chief executive and voiced again all their observations and concerns about the deaths in the NICU and all roads literally leading to Lucy. Days later, Lucy was removed from the neonatal unit, finally, and placed on clerical duty, despite the nurse director, Kelly Reese, insisting that Lucy was perfectly harmless and she would take responsibility if she was wrong. Wow, thank goodness we did not listen to Director Kelly. Once Lucy was removed from the unit, everything went back to normal. No more inexplicable fatal attacks, no more of those crazy rashes, and the medical director finally went to the police to get an actual investigation. Police were able to tie Lucy to the attacks. I'll go ahead and mention medical personnel say it was hard to believe that a nurse was actually doing this and that you didn't want it to be true, and that's why it took so long for them to really hammer down on Lucy. Okay. Lucy gets arrested, like I said, July 3rd, 2018. They search her house and her parents' house. They found a bunch of evidence. Now, I mentioned earlier the sticky notes. But she also kept a diary. She sent sympathy cards to the victim's parents, and she would take photos of these cards that she sent and keep them in her phone so that she could look back on them. She also kept medical records and what they call a, quote, treasure trove of evidence, end quote. As of right now, I'm unsure what the diary contents contained or what else was in this treasure trove. I'm sure that will be released as more information comes out now that the trial is over. And she was sentenced this morning to the maximum sentence of life in prison with no chance of release. Wow, what a roller coaster. So the trial was like 9 months long. It was very private because they needed the victims to remain anonymous so that, of course, the parents' identities could remain anonymous during the trial to avoid like any harassment, tampering with the case. I mean, most of these people had to testify, you know, so they just wanted to keep it private from the public and the media to not mess anything up. There was a lot of testimony. So like I've said, I anticipate more information to be released. But I mean, here's just to let you in and explain what the Lucy Letby situation really is. At the very least, I will try to update information on my Facebook and Instagram. If there's enough, maybe I'll do an updated episode. But don't forget to check out photos pertaining to this case. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will talk to you later this week. Side note, I do want to say, this was a really weird case to cover because I'm pregnant. I'm like 17 weeks pregnant. I'm already nervous enough. I saw that story on the news about like a lady whose baby got decapitated during delivery and the hospital tried to cover it up. And then I'm reading this about this like psycho baby nurse. Woof. All right, guys. See ya.